Sarah Israelison Hartley from the Assembly. Sarah, good morning. Thanks so much for the time today.
Good morning, Chris. Glad to be here.
Oh, can you just tell us what fluoride is and how we got into this big debate in the United States about it?
Sure. So fluoride is a mineral that exists in the soil, in the water, and in a lot of the foods that we eat. And it helps protect our teeth from tooth decay. And it became such a big deal in the United States because in the 1940s, the U.S. decided to start adding this to community drinking water to address cavity rates and just to offer sort of broad protection. But some researchers were a little bit concerned about that, and as well as sort of the things that they might not have known about fluoride. We already knew that at very high levels of fluoride, it could cause like negative effects on our teeth, sort of white lines or spots, and also some bone rigidity. And so they knew about that, but they knew less about other potential impacts. And so that hesitancy has sort of remained till today. And it's now it's sort of mixed with additional concerns about, you know, personal liberties and government overreach of putting things in the water. But that's sort of the basic beginnings there.
In this story for the Assembly, you spent a lot of time chronicling Dr. Gary Slade, as we mentioned, from UNC Chapel Hill. He has this quest to see if fluoride has actually been beneficial. Can you tell us a little more about the work that he's doing and how he got involved with fluoride in this project?
Yeah, absolutely. So he is a professor of evidence-based dentistry at UNC, and he wanted to do a specific type of study on fluoride, a randomized controlled trial. This is sort of the gold standard. This is where you have a group of people that's divided into two groups. You have one that receives a treatment and one that remains the control group. So that allows you to rule out other reasons why your intervention may or may not be working. And that had never been done for fluoride in drinking water. And so he wanted to do it. He wanted to know if fluoride was, you know, statistically better at preventing cavities in children than water without fluoride. So he got 200 families. He enrolled 200 families in Lenoir and Wayne counties, and half of them will get water that has naturally occurring fluoride from New Bern, and the other half will get water without fluoride, just from Kinston. And then he will evaluate, whether these children that got the fluoridated water have fewer cavities than the children who got the non-fluoridated water.
How long until he sees results from this work?
I mean, this will be probably 4 or 5 years. It's a long study. You have to wait till these children, they're enrolled as babies, and so they have to make sure they, you know, grow up and start getting their primary teeth and secondary teeth. So it'll be several years, 4 or 5 years.
Was there any pushback from members of the Lenoir and Wayne County communities?
Yeah, so the pushback relates to some studies that have been coming out from the National Toxicology Program, which is a division of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And they had studied fluoride, and like we talked about, those side effects related to neurodevelopment, so the effects on the brain. And they found after reviewing more than 100 studies that exposure to fluoride at really high levels is associated with slightly lower IQ in children. And the study did not find any relation with the fluoride levels in the water that we're drinking right now, but at a little bit higher levels. And so there's this concern that's being raised that, again, that we know fluoride helps with our teeth, but we're concerned that there may be some negative impacts with our brain. And so with that, as Dr. Slade started this study, the Fluoride Action Network, which is a nonprofit group that focuses on educating people about what they say are the harms of fluoride, they came in with letters and flyers and a billboard. And they were concerned that Dr. Slade was not, you know, fully communicating these neurotoxic risks to the families, as well as the risks of sort of a dental etching on the teeth. And that has been, the consent form has been updated to include at least the etching, the white lines or spots on the teeth. But there hasn't been a mention of the neurotoxic effects. And that was because that the levels of the water that the children are drinking hasn't been directly tied to these neurotoxic effects. But again, it's still sort of this open question of, and it's concerning for many people. And so that's why there was some initial pushback on the study.
Does Dr. Slade plan to study any of that stuff during his study?
That's a great question. No, he does not. The study was set up to only look at the effects on cavities for the children. So his study will not be able to comment on anything related to IQ or, you know, neurotoxic effects. Those things are being studied by other researchers, and it's something that is still, you know, researchers are very interested in learning more and trying to get more answers to that question.
I'm curious, Sarah, what were the biggest things that you took away or that struck you during your reporting on this story?
No, that's a great question. I think what stood out to me is this idea that two things can be true at the same time. We know that fluoride does help prevent cavities. We use it every day in our toothpaste and our mouth rinses, and those things are very helpful for our teeth. And we are also now seeing evidence that fluoride can impact children's brains. And so instead of sort of leaning to one side in an all or nothing discussion, it is this mix of things, and both can be true. And we need to learn a little bit more. And that's what researchers are doing, to try to learn all they can about finding that right balance. And so, I just came away from this with an idea that it's really important to be able to embrace nuanced ideas and to try to avoid engaging, with arguments or posts or threads online that try to stoke fear and anger, by blowing things out of proportion or painting things in absolutes.
Sarah, as I let you go, where can our listeners go to find your work on this story and all the other great work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You can read the story at theassemblync.com. You can also listen to another interview about this on WUNC's The Broadside. Check it out.
Great stuff. Sarah Israelson Hartley with the Assembly. Sarah, thanks so much for the time and the reporting. We look forward to visiting again sometime soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
Have a good day.